Funding for this edition of Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been provided by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. Operating Engineers, Local 825.
PSCNG, powering progress.
The New Jersey Economic Development Authority.
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, moving the region through air, land, rail, and sea.
The Terrell Fund,
a foundation serving children.
United Airlines.
New Jersey Sharing Network. And by
Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey.
Promotional support provided by
Meadowlands Chamber, building connections, driving business growth.
And by
NJ.com, keeping communities informed and connected.
Hi, everyone. Steve Adubato. That's right. FIFA, the World Cup. It is an historic event here in New Jersey over at the Meadowlands. Alex Lazary will be with us in a second. Just tell us what the exact name of the stadium is. It's not going to be MetLife. Alex is laughing already. Moving the masses, navigating, getting ready for the FIFA World Cup. Chris Kaluri, president and CEO of New Jersey Transit, and in his spare time, the executive director of the New Jersey Turnpike Authority, Michelle Sekirka, CEO and President, New Jersey Business and Industry Association, Alex Lazary, CEO of the FIFA World Cup 26, New York, New Jersey Host Committee. Thank you all for joining us. So, Alex, put this in context for us. World Cup, a huge deal for the region because?
Well, it's going to be the largest sports and entertainment event that the region's ever seen. Just to put in perspective what the World Cup is, the last World Cup final was viewed by the same amount of people as the last 13 Super Bowls combined. So if football is America's sport, you know, football is the world sport, and we're going to be welcoming the world to New York, New Jersey, and in just under 30 days.
Yeah, and moving people is going to be a real challenge. And let me disclose, New Jersey Transit, a new underwriter of our programming, and also we're media partners with the Business and Industry Association. Chris, talk about how challenging to move people where they need to get to those games, and then we'll talk about the cost.
Yeah, look, let me join Alex in saying that this is exciting. This is an opportunity to showcase New Jersey to the world and our economic strength and our cultural diversity. So we're excited about it. And New Jersey Transit has an obligation to move 40,000 people per game, or 51% of the total number of people that'll be going to the game. And this will be the largest movement of people we've ever made to a single event. And I think we've been working at it for many years, and we're prepared to do
it. Real quick, before I go to Michelle on the economic impact, there are several ways to travel to the World Cup. Explain that, Chris.
Yeah. So Alex and his team are going to, the host committee are moving about between 12 and 18,000 people, depending on the games. Then the FIFA has about 22,000 people. Then we have about 40,000 people that we're going to move, for a total of about 78,000 people.
Trains, buses,
and then park and rides that Alex is going to run where is it, Alex? Is it Clifton?
Yeah, so there'll be a park and ride that we'll be running that'll be out of Clifton, New Jersey at the Hackensack School of Medicine. We'll also have three spots in New York City to be able to move people. So, you know, this is going to be a joint effort between New Jersey Transit, the host committee, and all of our local transportation partners to ensure that we're able to get people to and from the game in a safe and efficient manner.
Yeah, that's the Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine. Check that location out. Michelle, you and I were talking offline about this the other day. There's confusion in my mind, and I'm not alone on this, in terms of the economic impact, the benefits to New Jersey and the region. Then again, we'll talk about the cost of pulling this off and who should be paying for it versus who's paying for it. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the direct economic impact is probably about $3.3 billion. And that's really when you bring it in 1.3 million visitors into our state and our regional across the state, their spending power, let alone we have about $1 billion in labor income that we're going to appreciate from additional all hands on deck jobs across this, I think, to the tune of about 26,000 jobs. Alex probably has these great stats as well. So, you know, during the actual time of the tournament, the actual days of the entire activity here, that's where the massive, you know, impact of direct economic impact we can benefit here in the state of New Jersey.
And let's be clear, the days we're talking about, the matches start on June 13th. The final is on July 19th. This programming, we'll do everything we can to put this programming on the air about the World Cup over in the Meadowlands during that period of time. Also, last time the World Cup was here in 1994, Alex?
Yep. So the last men's World Cup was here in 1994. We hosted a women's World Cup in 1999. So, you know, this is a big deal. And the scale and scope of these events from media, attendees, economic impact is exponentially bigger than it was in 1994 when we last hosted. And I think our hope for these games is that at the end of this, after we've put on what is going to be the most successful World Cup final in history, that we can show that New York, New Jersey is the tourism, sports, and entertainment capital of the world.
Okay, let's talk money. Chris, together with the governor Sherrill's been very clear on this. She has said very specifically that FIFA, it's a direct quote, FIFA should be paying for transporting people to and from the games. That's not the case. Originally, the round trip from New York Penn Station to the location over by the Meadowlands was $150 round trip. That was proposed. It is now, as we speak, on the 19th of May, $98. Don't know if that's the final number. Is that the final number, Chris?
It is the final number.
Okay. The governor says that she's doing this so that the regular commuters of New Jersey Transit are not bearing the freight, bearing the weight, and that FIFA should be paying, you say?
So I not only do I agree with her, I've actually implemented the principle that she's laid out from the very beginning. I actually think it's a pretty straightforward proposition. The fans who are going to enjoy the game, who are on average going to pay somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500 per ticket, should bear the brunt of the cost and not a hotel worker or a nurse who takes the train every single day or a bus every single day. In the end, we have made a deal with the host committee and others to make sure we move these fans in a safe and efficient manner. And we're going through extraordinary lengths to make sure we execute on that plan. And there's costs associated. So the governor has said, and I believe, that we are now able and ready to do it. And the cost of that is $98 per person for a cost of about $6 million a game.
From Penn Station, New York to where exactly?
All the way to a few steps away from the gates of the brand new stadium, whatever you're calling it, Alex.
Okay, by the way, what's the name, Alex?
The New York, New Jersey Stadium, but we can call it MetLife. It's fine.
Okay, we are going to call it MetLife, just so you know, okay?
Right.
Because that's the name. How about this? Before I go back to Alex on the FIFA piece, which we really need to get clarity on, Chris Caluri, the impact, and I'm not going to make this about our son who travels into New York every day to his job. Millions of others do who live in New Jersey, use New Jersey Transit to travel in. What will be the impact for all of the regular New Jersey Transit commuters?
So the good news about New Jersey is we are not a mass transit desert. We have buses that'll still run on time and as planned. Trains, except for the ones leaving Penn Station only for those few hours before the game, will still be able to go into Penn Station. And during and after the game, they'll be able to leave Penn Station like normal. PATH will still work. Amtrak will still work. Ferries will still work. So we have all the options that people have usually that'll still be available. Even though during those 4 hours, Steve, when there's going to be a diversion plan at Penn Station, the PATH station is literally a block and a half away from the current Penn Station. And New Jersey Transit is going to cross honor those folks who take the train to either Hoboken or Newark. So as far as the rest of the commuters are concerned, we want them to not only do go about their business if they need to, but if you can work from home, great. If not, you have options to get around.
I have to come back to Alex. And Michelle, this is, I'm not going to pull you into this, Michelle, because apparently you were not involved in the negotiations with FIFA, as I understand it. But here's the question. Why isn't FIFA picking up the cost of transportation, Alex? They're making a lot of money on this.
Well, I think if you look at all the contracts that were signed around the country when the bids were happening, it was, you know, it was clear that that FIFA, you know, wasn't going to pick up the tab and isn't responsible for transportation. With that being said, the host committee has been working with New Jersey Transit, the governor's office, the governor of New York, mayor of New York, to make sure that we're able to ensure that fans have affordable and accessible transportation to and from the games. You know, we've worked with New Jersey Transit to help cover the cross-honoring that Chris just talked about. So the host committee is putting up, you know, $3.5 million to ensure that we're able to cross-honor so that the everyday commuter isn't going to be paying any higher of a fare. The host committee is putting together a shuttle service that is going to help alleviate some of the roadway congestion that could come from, you know, more rideshare or people trying to arrange their own cars. So we've actually increased our capacity from the original 10,000 passengers to 12 to 18,000 and dropped our price from $80 to $20 round trip, whether you're coming from New York or coming from New Jersey. So I think if you're looking at the breadth of transportation options that you have to be able to get to the game, you're going to have a lot of really great options that will get you right to the stadium. And I think that's important to know. These are options that are going to get you right to the stadium and get you there on time for the game in a way that that's going to make sure that fans are able to enjoy the game. And the last thing I would say is, if for some reason, you know, if fans and anyone thinks that and feels that the game is out of reach, it is also why the host committee, along with the governors of both states and the mayor of New York, have been putting on these fan festivals to ensure that the experience outside the stadium rivals what happens inside, and that people from all over the world and all over the region can enjoy the games.
To watch more Think Tank with Steve Adubato, find us online and follow us on social media.
This is the story of every flight to every place you'll ever have to take ever. There's the one you'll take across an ocean or back home to the kids' table. All the flights to all the places when all your friends get married in the same year. The work one, the fancy work one, the flights you'll take with them and the ones you'll take without them, and all the flights in between. Because when we built the world's biggest airline, we built it around you.
At the Turl Fund, we know that all New Jersey families deserve access to affordable, high-quality childcare. Early childhood education supports healthy brain development and provides essential support to power the economy, enabling parents to work, businesses to operate, and communities to thrive. The Turl Fund is proud to be part of Start Strong NJ, a statewide initiative to put affordable, high-quality childcare within reach of all New Jersey families. Learn more at turlfund.org and startstrongnj.org.
Next, please. Okay, we need a neutral expression. Sir, you're smiling.
Oh, am I?
Over 1 million lives in the U.S. have been saved by organ donation. So when you choose to become a donor, you're doing something good, which can make you feel really good.
Next.
Register today at njsn.org.
Ready for anything? That ought to be our state motto. All hustle, no nonsense, never backs down. So when it comes to strengthening the grid and uplifting our communities, we do it our way. Because storms don't care what exit they hit. And talking doesn't fix the grid. Fixing it does. Around here, we make our own future. Because ready is who we are.
PSEG.
Michelle, I'm really curious about this. You've been on with us so many times talking about the challenges that businesses face, large, medium, small business. Can we talk restaurants and hotels here? Let's get more granular and specific. Realistically, to what degree do you believe hotels in and around the Meadowlands, no disrespect to New York City, we are a New Jersey-based operation. We're more interested right now in the economic impact for New Jersey. I know there's a regional benefit, but to what degree do you believe the hotels will have an economic boon, if you will, and the restaurants? Not that you can predict, like Nostradamus, exactly what's going to happen, but what does it look like, Michelle?
Well, I think it's looking good. It's starting to look better, actually. I think some weeks ago or some months ago, there was some concern that the pickup was a bit slow. I think what we hear from the hotels today is they realize maybe they have to adjust their pricing a little bit to be competitive in order to attract locals.
Too high?
I think some started out too high, right? We also have, you know, these new assets that we didn't have decades ago called Airbnb and VRBO. A lot of people are taking advantage of that. And so that always has a pressure point, you know, on the hotels for sure. And then there's the marketing aspect. We have to make sure that these great assets are visible and available. And there's a lot of marketing going on right now. I can feel as I drive around the state, I'm starting to feel the energy. I'm starting to feel the excitement as this event is coming closer. And I think people are starting to say, what do we need to do to make sure we're in the game, right? I want to commend the governor on reallocating some of those fan experience assets out of what was initially that huge, big, just, you know, Liberty State Park, big activation event.
In Jersey City,
where,
right?
Frankly, I think New Jersey business wasn't going to have the best opportunity to show their wares. And now we have things like the Plaza de Football that's going to take place at American Dream, where 1,000 vendors are going to have an opportunity over all those days. They get to pick and choose their slots, right? They're not all there at the same time. But there's a site available where they can go. And the donut maker from Main Street in South Jersey can come on up and spend an entire day up there selling their donuts. And they'll probably sell 5,000 more donuts than they would have in their Main Street that day. So these are real opportunities that have come onto the surface with really just within the last few months, and it's incumbent upon all of us to make all these opportunities, you know, available.
To Michelle's point, help us on this, Chris and or Alex. We want to put up a website. We're taping on the 19th of May so that people can find out where these smaller fan fests are. Alex, I'll put you on the spot. Is there a website?
Yeah, so Steve, I would say also a couple things to add to what Michelle said. You know, we were very excited to be able to partner with the governor, Choose New Jersey, and EDA to announce the 34 watch parties that will be going throughout the state of New Jersey to ensure that the economic impact for the state has reached across all of New Jersey. We've also put together a small business rewards program. It's our Welcome Worlds Rewards program, where the more you shop local, the more points you'll earn, which will then lead to prizes such as being, you know, coming to the World Cup final with as a guest of the host committee. So this is going to be something where everyone and our goal and hope is that we can drive economic impact all across the state, and that people will come here and say that they want to come back.
Yeah. Hey Chris, let's switch gears. Can we talk about Safe Passage? I want to talk about New Jersey Transit's involved in this, but so is the Attorney General's office and others. Safe Passage, and what the heck does this have to do, not just with people's safety, but complicated the human trafficking issue here?
Steve, as exciting as the 8 games New Jersey is going to host is, the unfortunate side of it also is these kinds of big events bring out the worst in some human beings, where trafficking of human beings becomes a major problem. So we are part of a program which was funded by the federal government, and you are partnering that with us for disclosure to make sure there's awareness among the public. The lens for me is a pretty straightforward one. These are our fellow human beings who are being hurt for the sick pleasure of a few people, and we need
Chris, how does that? I'm sorry for interrupting, Chris. Help us understand with a concrete example. Because on our New Jersey, the NJ Spotlight News had a feature on this, and I was trying to understand, because the question kept being asked, if you see something, say something, or if you see what? What would you look for?
It's amazing. The prototypical victim that comes to mind is a young girl who is led by an older man into places, right? But while that is also true, a real life example could be a young man or an older man on a train or a bus or at hanging out at a bus stop with a person, then it just doesn't seem right. And that's the moment to call the police to alert them to a potential. And these are not victimless crimes. These are human beings who are being trafficked.
For what purpose, Chris? I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm trying to understand. In what are we talking about? Sex work? Are we talking about? Go ahead, please.
I don't know how else to say. Look, as a father of two young women, I can't help but think about what I would do if one of my daughters was ever in an unfortunate situation where she's being hurt or she's being trafficked by another human being for their pleasure or to make money. And what happens, Steve, these kinds of events bring out prostitution, bring out trafficking. That is what the Attorney General, us, and frankly you, are all trying to raise awareness. See something, right. Say something is not just about some security issues, but it's also to make sure we prevent these kinds of incidents.
Real quick, in the time we have left, let's talk security. Michelle, again, for business is economic. They're looking for maximum economic benefit, et cetera, et cetera. How does security in these incredibly scary times play into advice for businesses who are looking to bring in the most economic benefit possible, make the most money possible for themselves, their workers, employ more people, but also stay safe? Is that part of the equation?
Has to be. Yeah, huge issue. The last thing you want is not just someone to be hurt on your premises, but then the reputational risk that follows that and nobody comes back in the future. Might as well close your doors tomorrow, right? So look, this is going to be a huge burden on our municipalities and our municipal police, and they only are going to have so many resources. So incumbent upon business, if they're hosting something out of the ordinary, if they're taking advantage of expanding their property out on the street and they're going to get some of these leniencies on liquor licenses or things like that, they should have some private security. They should absolutely hire and protect themselves by having, private security on site in order to monitor the situation. And don't just expect that local law enforcement's going to be able to show up, because I think local law enforcement's going to be rather busy during this time.
Yeah. And, Alex, let's jump on this. I saw the governor, literally, again, we're taping on the 19th of May. She was, I think she was in a bar, well, not just hanging at a bar. She was actually in a bar talking about, help me on this if I'm wrong, Alex, changing the liquor license laws or changing the hours of operation. And what the heck does that have to do with maximizing the impact of these games being played over in the Meadowlands?
I think what you're going to see is you've got a lot of games that are going to be happening, late at night, and then sometimes into early the next morning, as we try to, make sure that these are global games, right? So there are going to be people around the world watching these games. So some of these start times are going to be at 10, 11, 12 o'clock. And so I think
in the evening.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first Team USA game is 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So you're going to have games that are going to be starting late. This is a global game. There are going to be teams that are starting at, midnight our time, but it's middle of the day for where their team is playing. And
right.
So I think what we're looking to do, and I think what the governor is trying to make sure, is that we're able to capitalize on that economic impact and the people who are going to be up watching these games late at night, while, again, also making sure that the everyday resident isn't inconvenienced, but also trying to ensure that, as Michelle said, that economic impact is able to be captured.
Are we talking about changing the hours of operation? Is that what it is?
I believe it was trying to extend the hours of operation and liquor licenses so that they could operate longer.
Chris, now I'm
also, I think it's also expanding your footprint, right? So let's just say, you're fortunate enough to have a big parking lot, and what you want to do is you want to put a tent out there. Ordinarily, you might not be able to extend your liquor license out, to that activity.
Okay.
So this is just some leniency so people can take better advantage of their environment.
So, Chris, people are enjoying themselves after the game, hopefully safe, secure. Now you got to get them where they need to go at some middle of the night time. What challenge does that present for New Jersey Transit?
But for the games that are taking place at the MetLife Stadium, no problem, because we have 3 hours to move the 40,000 people that we promised.
Before. Right.
The rest of the system for all the fan fests, all the other activities, Steve, the rest of the system works as it's currently scheduled. So we have not only the security apparatus ready to help, but we have the resources to move the people just like we do every single day.
So people go on your site right now, Chris Kaluri. What can they find out specifically about moving around the World Cup at Meadowlands Stadium, but also at MetLife Stadium, but also for the regular commuters? What can they find out right now on the NJ Transit site?
In fact, the New Jersey Transit app we just announced, and not only can you buy a ticket there, but you can also get all the information from where you are and where you're going, and from start to finish on bus, light rail, as well as train.
It's all there.
It's all there.
Easy to navigate, Chris Kaluri?
We call it less clicks, more information.
Hey, to Chris Kaluri and Alex and Michelle, I want to thank you for joining us. Listen, I won't do commentary because it's not my job on public broadcasting, but it is the 19th of May. This is a huge event. We hope it goes well. We hope everyone gets where they need to get to as safely as possible as it relates to the human trafficking issue. Chris said it best. Just imagine if it were your son or daughter or someone you cared about. We need to move people safely. We need to protect people. And the economics of it, it'll be all added up after. And then we'll have everyone back on this panel talking about what was planned and what actually happened. But I cannot thank all of you enough. And go USA, the men's and the women's soccer team. I'm Steve Adubato. FIFA, the World Cup at MetLife. See you next time.
Think Tank with Steve Adubato is a production of the Caucus Educational Corporation. Funding has been provided by Hackensack Meridian Health, Operating Engineers, Local 825, PSCNG, the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, the Terrell Fund, a foundation serving children, United Airlines, New Jersey Sharing Network, and by Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey. Promotional support provided by Meadowlands Chamber. And by NJ.com. To watch more Think Tank with Steve Adubato, find us online and follow us on social media.
This is the story of every flight to every place you'll ever have to take ever. There's the one you'll take across an ocean or back home to the kids' table. All the flights to all the places when all your friends get married in the same year. The work one, the fancy work one. The flights you'll take with them and the ones you'll take without them. And all the flights in between. Because when we built the world's biggest airline, we built it around you.
At the Terrell Fund, we know that all New Jersey families deserve access to affordable, high-quality childcare. Early childhood education supports healthy brain development and provides essential support to power the economy, enabling parents to work, businesses to operate, and communities to thrive. The Terrell Fund is proud to be part of Start Strong NJ, a statewide initiative to put affordable, high-quality childcare within reach of all New Jersey families. Learn more at terrellfund.org and startstrongnj.org.
Next, please. Okay, we need a neutral expression. Sir, you're smiling.
Oh, am I?
Over 1 million lives in the U.S. have been saved by organ donation. So when you choose to become a donor, you're doing something good, which can make you feel really good.
Next.
Register today at njsn.org.
Ready for anything? That ought to be our state motto. All hustle, no nonsense, never backs down. So when it comes to strengthening the grid and uplifting our communities, we do it our way. Because storms don't care what exit they hit. And talking doesn't fix the grid. fixing it does. Around here, we make our own future. Because ready is who we are. PSEG.